HT2 and InsideSTL.com. Also, 590TheFan.com. I'm Matt Rocchio filling in for Matt Berger. He's out for today. He should be back for Friday evening's show, as we will be off tomorrow. Andy Strickland and the Doc Rick Lehman will take over their usual two-hour fare. Obviously, Hockey Sense from 6 to 7, followed by Sports Medicine from 7 to 8. And so we will take you up to 8 p.m. tonight and again on a Friday evening. And so now we're going to head out to the phone lines for another one of our guests, the Bellman Automotive phone lines, I should say. Mark Lillibridge, former NFL everyman, scout, player, agent, now analyst. Mark, how you doing today, buddy?
Good, Rock. What's up, bud?
Not a lot. Another interesting week in the NFL. I mean, week two, I'd say it was a little bit better than week one, but obviously right now, if you're not talking specifically about something on the field, the conversation around the NFL right now, Mark, has everything to do with those ratings numbers.
Yeah, no question about it. I mean, that's what I was going to say. I mean, it was the product on the field was a little bit better, but you wouldn't know that by the stats, the fans watching the games. And I don't know if that's due to college football taking off and people are just excited about the start of college football, just because there's a little bit more pageantry to the college game, or if it just has to do with just the product that people think they're getting on the field. If it's bad quarterback play, if that's protest, if it's, you know, whatever those extenuating circumstances are, the numbers are down, and I think that's the NFL has an epidemic with it, and I think they're going to have to figure out pretty quickly how to resolve it.
The Ringer posed an odd theory. I don't know if you got a chance to grab his article. Essentially, their theory was that offenses have hit a boring set of efficiency, and it's affected by what a lot of people are talking about, poor quarterback play, but also the big one that a lot of people are talking about again early this season, which is poor offensive line play. Kind of the correlation is, yeah, sure, people are, teams are quote unquote, airing it out. They're throwing the ball 30 times a game, but when it's all 7-yard passes, that's boring football for a couple hours. And so I think it's interesting that years ago, if there was people said that, no one wanted to watch highly defensive games. And now we're talking about games where teams are still throwing the ball 40 times, but because of the way they're having to throw the ball, it's become a boring offensive game. Your thoughts on that little theory being put out?
Yeah, I think a lot of it has to do with the offensive line play. And, Bill Belichick came out and talked about it today in his press conference, was saying that he made a great correlation to golf. And he said, you can go out and hit driving range all the time and over again, and you're going to get better, with your drives. But if you never go to the putting green, you can't be on the same level. You're not going to be able to play that. And so, I thought that was very apropos by what he said, because you're limited now to 14 padded practices in an NFL, in an NFL season. And the union and the NFL saying they're trying to protect these players, but they're not getting enough practice time. And so that has led to the lack of depth and I think talent on the offensive lines. And, you're only dressing X amount of guys with a limited number of roster spots. So I do think it has watered down the game a little bit. And then, of course, you have to run an efficient offense, because if you don't have anybody pass blocking for you, you got to get the ball out of your hand quickly. So I think that that's led to a lot of it. And I think that, I do think just people are just kind of fed up with it. I think people are just kind of, they're sick of the way these, some of the owners have been, somehow some of the players have been off the field. And so I think you're starting to see that with those ratings numbers.
This brings me to a little bit of an X's and O's question here. And you talk about poor offensive line play and it hampering offenses. When it comes to finding a way to beat a rush that's kicking your butt, or your offensive line's not getting it done, either are you more of a proponent to spread it out, get the ball out quick, or what I've seen, obviously the old school heads, bring in a running back, bring in a tight end, go to max protection, but obviously then you take receivers off the field. So just a slight X and O's question, which do you think is more of a hampering effect in the NFL, going max protect, taking away targets, but getting more blockers, or spreading it out and just going quick?
Yeah, we talked about it on the Sunday kickoff show that H and I do on Sundays from 10 to noon. I think a lot of it is, I think it's a couple things. You don't have a lot of the blocking tight ends. A lot of teams are going with H-backs. There's no, the lack of fullbacks. There's not a lot of the fullbacks that there used to be back in the day. But then you look at it, another example of it would be when you're sitting there, you're talking about the offensive line play. They're not enough of those guys to do it. But then you talk about the running backs. There's a lot of rookie running backs that are starting right now. And that's the hardest part, of playing in the NFL is, you can be a running back can just pick the ball up and run. I mean, you're a good running back. Either you have vision and talent and cutting ability. But a lot of it is picking up the blitz pickups. And so with a lot of those guys playing, they're, you know, making a lot of missed blocks. And so I think it all ties in together, Rock. I think if it was me, I'd just bring in the, you know, old school tight ends and use those guys. You know, I'll give you an example. When I was working for the Kansas City Chiefs, you know, we had, of course, Tony Gonzalez was an all pro tight end. He was a heck of a blocking tight end as well. But we had Dunn, who was the other tight end. He was almost like another offensive lineman. And he was just, he hardly ever went out for passes. His job was literally just to protect the quarterback. And so I think that's, you know, a lot of teams don't have that anymore or are missing that, or they're just not breeding those kind of tight ends anymore because colleges then are all using running the you know, the spread, yeah. And those tight ends are just big receivers. I think that plays a part of it as well.
There was a season there, I'm pretty sure, where the Patriots, when it was obviously Hernandez had been kicked out of the NFL, and it was before they kind of you know, traded for Dwayne Allen and Martellus Bennett, and they were drafting offensive linemen or taking undrafted offensive linemen, and they were just running them out there as 290-pound, 300-pound auxiliary tight ends in their three tight end fashion. That was kind of the Patriots' way of getting around that and saying, hey, listen, there aren't good blocking tight ends, so if we're going to go heavy to beat these teams up, we're just going to use a converted offensive lineman.
Yeah, and I think that's, you know, I think that's why they've been ahead of the game for so long, and I think that's why they've been so good for so long.
Let's bring the conversation to two linebackers right now, both of them not on the field. The first one, Sua Cravens with the Washington Redskins. It looks like he's just decided the head injuries aren't for him. The Redskins tried to talk him back into coming out, but it looks like with this last move that Sua Cravens' NFL career might be over after just 1 year. He might be taking the Chris Borland route.
Yeah, that's scary. I mean, that guy was a good football player. I really liked him a lot in college, and I thought he played really well as a rookie last year. So, you know, I think you're going to start seeing that, too. I mean, there's a new study that came out today from Boston University talking about that if athletes had played football before they were 12 years old, they have a better chance of having, you know, more concussions and more susceptible to stuff later on down the, you know, in their career. You know, again, I think it's up to each family and each parent to make that decision. You know, I think it's, you know, no matter what you do, there's always risks in it. And, you know, if that's Sua Cravens felt like, you know, he didn't want to take that path, take that risk, then, you know, he can do what he do Chris Borland route or any of those other guys, Pat Wills, the same thing. You step away from the game.
Is there a line when you're a team? I understand, obviously, you're a business. You want to win. You want to be successful. But is there a line when we're talking about the head injury issue with sitting a guy down and trying to talk him back into coming back to the football field when he's maybe let you know that he's having doubts? Is there a line somewhere there that the Redskins need to be aware of or no?
I don't know about that. I mean, I think if you know, I've always said it this way. It's tough. If somebody, people say what they are. And so if he feels like he's going to quit and he doesn't want to play it, if his heart's not in it, you can talk to his head all you want, but if his heart never changes, then it's always going to be susceptible that he's going to walk away. So I don't know if you can. I mean, I think you make sure you give him all the medical information you possibly can. I think you tell him the benefits of playing as opposed to the risks of playing. And then at some point he's an adult and he's going to make his own decision. And so I think that's, you know, it stinks for the Redskins because they lose a good player and they lose a guy that they were counting on this season. But again, that's part of the risk of not only drafting in the NFL, but of playing in the NFL. They could have lost him just to an injury and he could be done for his career anyway. So it's, you know, it's a slippery slope, but I think it's one of those situations where it comes down to what the player feels is best for his, you know, his future.
Speaking of head injuries, Larry Fitzgerald made these comments at the end of the preseason, and now Terrell Pryor's comments with the St. Louis Rams are being brought publicly. Receivers, multiple ones, not just those two, there's another one, I'm blanking on who it was, have come out and said, you know, screw all this talk about the head injuries, do not go after my knees, whatever you do, don't go low, come high. And even Larry Fitzgerald came out and said, I'll help pay your fine if you come high and get hit with a fine for that one. I'm sure you're not surprised that players are putting out this mindset that's kind of prioritizing their immediate career, their knees, over the long-term potential of the head. But are you a little bit surprised that maybe it's still that pervasive of a mindset, considering all the conversations with concussions and you know, the look into the future we are seeing from young players like Chris Borland and Sua Cravens?
Yeah, I mean, it's an interesting comment, especially for someone like Larry Fitzgerald, just because he's such a veteran and, you know, probably be a Hall of Famer. But I do think that is and it always kind of will be the mindset, because at least with the helmet, you feel like you're protected and you have some kind of, you know, mechanism where it can, you know, block that. And it's not, you know, maybe the concussion is you might have it for 3 or 4 days, but you could play the next week typically. Mm-hmm. Where if somebody goes low on your knee and blows your knee out, you're done for the season. And so, and maybe, you know, who knows if you ever get that speed back or if you ever get that quickness back. And so for receivers especially, you know, I would think those guys, that's probably where their mindset is. So I think it's, you know, offensive linemen, defensive linemen get banged on their helmet almost every snap. So I think it's just, I do think that overlying feeling for most players, and myself included, is I don't think you think about the long term when you're in it. You're just excited about playing the game. And then you hopefully, you know, down the road, you can avoid those concussions. But you're not, I don't think you think about that when you're in the middle of your career. Most guys do not. I think most guys would just say, I want to keep playing and I'll take that risk.
You're right. Coming from Terrell Pryor, it really isn't that surprising. But when Larry Fitzgerald said it, that did shock me, because you'd think that he'd be a guy who at this point he is starting to think, you know, not prioritize his post-playing days, but maybe think more than ever about what's coming after his days as a Cardinal.
Sure. And I would think, you know, because he is on the backside of his career, but you wouldn't think that the way he continues to play. Now that he's gotten better the last 3 years, I think there was a while there when they drafted Brown and those other guys, J.J. Nelson, that everybody kind of thought, oh, this is the end of it for Larry. And then, you know, of course, now Michael Floyd's gone, and he's still the number one receiver, Larry Fitzgerald is. But I do think that you're 100% right. That would be a guy you think would start automatically looking for the future. But, again, I respect him for what he's done on the football field. And if it's his body and it's his mind, if he feels like, hey, I'd rather get, you know, hit in my head than hit in my legs, I respect that.
The interesting part to me just has to be the difference in thought process still between the public about the sport of football and concussions and what still appears to be the great majority of the NFL. You know, we're talking about how we might see more of the Chris Borlands, but it appears that, you know, the Borlands and even the Calvin Johnsons, the guys who dip out after 8 or 9 years a little bit earlier than everyone expects, when they still look like they have gas in the tank, those guys are still the overwhelming minority in football players just leaving the game because of head injuries or because they're worried about head injuries. It is kind of the media, we really make it seem like this is the only thing even guys in football are talking about, but it seems like they're still not focusing on this one thing as much as or even close to what we are.
I think it's overrated. I really do. I mean, I think it's one of those situations where I don't think a lot of guys talk about it in the locker room. I think it's more of, it is a media-driven thing. I think it's more of a medical-driven from people that are just against the game of football, you know, because they're pushing soccer or pushing other sports. But again, I'll tell you right now, I mean, my son plays it. He loves it, and he's good at it. And there's still a lot of other kids I know that they'd give anything to play, you know, in the NFL, knowing the risk down the road. You know, I'd go back and do it again too, knowing the risks that are in there. So I think it's because it's, you always have to have for radio shows and for TV shows and to push a, you know, some kind of hot button topic, that's become the one that everybody's latched onto because, you know, you do see the junior sales and the things that people, like, issues that guys have went through, and it's easy to blame it on CTE or blame it on those things when, you know what, it might not even been those concussions, it might have just been other things that they had that led to those, led to some of their personal issues.
All right, Bridge, tell everyone about Sunday football kickoff. Where will you guys be this weekend?
Yeah, Mattingly's off of Wolfram down there, 94 in Darting Prairie. Definitely get down to Mattingly's. It'll be there from 10 to noon. And it's been good. The show's been great. The first week at Westport Social was phenomenal. And then last week, of course, we did it at Joey B's on Manchester. This week we'll be at Mattingly's, and then next week we'll be at Turtle Creek in O'Fallon, Missouri. So it's been great. You know, we do the first hour. And Balzer and myself, we do the first hour just to kind of talk on matchups, and then we do the fantasy talk. We had a lot of people come up to us last week, and we had Derek Frost, former punter in the NFL. He came out, and a lot of people were asking questions, fantasy questions, helping people set their lineups. So it's been going really good. I love it. I appreciate, you know, 590 letting us do the show, and hopefully we're putting out a good product.
Awesome. Thank you so much for your time. And although it's tough for me to say this as a CBC grad, for the young Littlebridge, hope DeSmet has some good luck the rest of the season.
Well, yeah, they got their doors blown off them by CBC, so you guys can have that one. CBC had a really good team this last week, but, you know, the kid's starting as a freshman, so I'll give him some credit for that, and he's playing hard, and that's all you can ever really ask for. But, yeah, so and the other thing I want to give a shout-out to tomorrow is, I think we talked about it on the kickoff show on Sunday, tomorrow night down at Four Seasons Center is Isaac Bruce Gala, and you can still, but he's still doing great things for this town, even though, you know, we don't have a football team. Isaac Ike's doing some great things, and tickets, you can still find those online. They're $100 to get into it for a great event, and I'll be down there with a couple other guys, and it should be a great event. So I'm hoping to see some of the fans down there as well.
Amen. We'll pump some tires on that event again Before we're done tonight, really quick question though. Varsity as a freshman, is he already ahead of his pops?
Oh, not even a question. He's so much better than me. That's not even comparable. But you know, I'm better looking, so that's all it really ever.
There it is. All right, thanks, Bridge. You have a good one, buddy.
All right, guys, giddy up.
There he is, Mark Lillibridge. Of course, you can check out Sunday Football Kickoff this weekend at Mattingly's 10 to noon. We're going to hit another break. When we come back, Nick Hand will join us talking about the Blues preseason game last night, game coming up a little bit tonight, talk about all those young guns. Who are the centers? Who are the forwards we're talking about? Who are the young defensemen that are going to make it into the top pairings with the injuries there as well? All that and more coming up on that 590 show on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 St. Louis, and InsideSTL.com.